Thank you, everyone. Shall we start with some prayer? Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to gather together in your presence. We thank you for the privilege and the gift of prayer to be able to come before you, to collaborate with you. And we just ask that you would set aside this time again. Lord, would you pray through us? Lord, we offer ourselves up to you. We are here, ready, willing to be used by you. So we ask that you would speak to us and pray through us and use this time for your will. And would you be glorified in our midst? Amen. So I'd like to start with some words that I'm confident many of you will have heard before, but were a real encouragement and a blessing to me. We are going up to the battle, and I am as sure of the victory as of the dawn. If you know you have faith for something, would you not go on until you got it? I would like this to ring out to the world. The Lord, he is the God. So those words are attributed to Rhys Howells, and he was a man of deep intercession and faith. And those words came at the height of World War II. And Rhys and the intercessors at the Bible College of Wales, they pressed on at some of the most darkest moments in our history. And they believed in faith that God would intervene. And they were praying for the safety of the UK. They were asking for victory in the war. And they were also praying for the re-establishment of the state of Israel. And there was no tangible evidence. There was no indication of what they were praying for was going to happen anytime soon. But the intercessors and those at the Bible College, they continued to press on in prayer as the Lord led them. They were sure of what they were praying for. And the hope they had was so great that it would come to fruition, that they kept on faithfully in prayer until they saw breakthrough. And that became a foundational biblical principle for the college and for its prayer life, to press on in prayer. And that's based on Hebrews 11:1, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So even though we might not see it, we press on in faith if that's what the Lord's given us to pray for. And that principle is so embedded in the principles, the foundation of the college. There is a stone set up there. So there you see Rhys, his wife Elizabeth, son Samuel, by the stone. Faith is substance. And then you see it there still today. And friends, that's the same for us with the Aliyah, isn't it? We see the miracle of the Jewish people coming home. They're returning in great, great numbers. And to witness it, to see it happening, it spurs us on, doesn't it, in prayer, because we see it unfolding. But there are also things that the Lord's put on our heart that he's invited us to pray for, things that haven't actually fully taken place yet. And our authority in Ebenezer, our calling to prayer, is of course the return of the Jewish people back to Israel. And again, back to the Bible College of Wales, Dr. Kingsley Priddy was part of the college, and he was a friend, a very dear friend of Gustav and Elsa Scheller, the ministry's founders. And the Lord used Dr. Kingsley Priddy to document this calling, this legacy in prayer, this responsibility that the Lord was inviting Ebenezer to take up. And he writes this, and it's in the back of the book. If you haven't read this letter yet, we really encourage you to do so, because that is the foundation of the ministry's call. And a part of it says, "The Holy Spirit is using Operation Exodus to gain a position of intercession for the subsequent return of the Jews from every part of the world. Although that is clearly foretold in Scripture and is certain of fulfillment, it will not happen automatically. God foretold through Jeremiah that the Jews would return from Babylon after 70 years, but it necessitated the intercession of Daniel when that time had come to bring its fulfillment." So Priddy's reminding us in this letter to Gustav that it's one thing to know God's will, it's one thing to know what his heart and his plan is, But what is it that brings it to fruition? What is it that brings it into the reality that we see? It's prayer. Like with Daniel praying for the captives to be released from Babylon. It'd been prophesied, but Daniel didn't just sit back and relax and say, well, God said he's going to do it. It's there. It's prophesied. He got to prayer. He persisted in prayer until he saw it happen. So the Lord may have a desire and a will for situation, but he's waiting for us to collaborate with him to bring about his will. So how specifically has the Lord been calling us to pray until we get the victory? Well, when we realized that we were meeting at this conference on the centenary of the British mandate legally coming into effect, we knew that it was significant, but we'd actually covered so much ground already. Was there more? Was there more prayer to be done? And for several years, the ministry has been praying for the government to apologize for Britain's huge, huge failings during the mandate period. And there are other ministries and organizations and individuals that they've been doing the same thing. And many of you have been faithfully part of those prayers over the years. And I'm fairly confident that probably some of you are wondering, like I was, well, what could possibly be left to pray? We've been praying this for many, many years. Well, the trustees, Alison, myself, we believe the Lord has actually been revealing further things for prayer that are holding the government back. They're holding them in this current position towards Israel. And this stance is actually preventing the apology from coming. And what is that? Well, that is actually an obstacle to Aliyah through and from the UK. And so the things that the Lord's been showing us are in the prayer that you've got a copy of. But before we invite you to pray that prayer, if you witness to it, if you've read it and in agreement, before we pray it, we're going to have a quick recap of how this prayer initiative came about, why we feel there's a need for further prayer, and what we believe the fruit will be. And then lastly, we'll look at this matter of what further is there to be taken up into prayer. So where did it all begin? Well, way back in 2011, this was the anniversary of the Evian conference. And it was then that Ebenezer got involved in this Evian conference and remembering the Evian conference. And this was in 1938, where 32 nations all got together, but they failed to agree on how to help the Jewish refugees. They couldn't come to an agreement of what to do and how to help the Jewish refugees. And so through this, Lord drawing our attention to the Evian conference and our rejection of helping the Jewish refugees, the Lord highlighted not only our failings at Evian, but also the major national sins that continued to follow during the mandate period. So from 1923 to 1948, Britain was entrusted with the responsibility to establish a national homeland for the Jewish people in what we know today as Israel. Well, what were we supposed to do? What was our responsibility under that mandate? We were supposed to help facilitate immigration. We were supposed to help settle them in the land to encourage their return. But what actually happened? This internationally agreed and legally binding commitment was broken. We divided up the land, and we took extreme measures to prevent the Jewish people from returning, and we blocked their aliyah. So during that season, back in 2011 and the years onwards, every anniversary from that time was identified as an opportunity, an occasion for us to come before the Lord and to confess these sins and to ask for an acknowledgement and an apology for the terrible way that Britain had treated the Jewish people. And aren't we only too aware that today how the enemy has been relentlessly at work trying to delegitimize Israel and disinherit her of her promised land? You just have to look at the BDS movements, pressure from the UN, and attacks from the surrounding nations to see the enemy at work. And there's been so much prayer. But despite this, the apology still hasn't come yet. But why is this apology so important? Why are we inviting you to continue in prayer, to press on, like we heard from that quote from Rhys Howes, to have victory and to keep going? Because when we began, we had an understanding that these prayers would bring about a release of Aliyah, not just from the UK, but from other nations. Why? Because the mandate was approved. It wasn't just a British thing that we thought up by ourselves and we instigated ourselves. No, it was approved by the League of Nations, which had around 40 members at the time in 1920. So there's all these countries that have got together and agreed that Israel should become a homeland for the Jewish people. And we know, don't we, that it's a biblical principle that confession opens up the way for God's forgiveness, for his mercy, for the land to be cleansed, so that he can bring about his plans and purposes. So where the enemy once had the chance to interfere, to resist God, that confession opens up the way for God to bring about his plans. And we know from the scriptures, from the word, that there are sins that defile the land. And what do we mean by that? They give the enemy a foothold. They give him an opportunity and the access to come against God and to establish his own agenda. And during the mandate period, that is exactly what happened. There were these specific sins that gave the enemy space for that to happen and obstacles to be put in place against the Lord's will. And there are three major ones that we've identified during the course of this prayer focus. Firstly, broken covenant, which of course probably doesn't need much explanation. We broke our promise. We had an agreement and a promise, and we broke it. Idolatry. Humanism, looking after our own needs, looking after our own interests. That's a form of humanism, idolizing ourselves, our own nation, as opposed to God's will. And also the appeasement of Islam, which is deeply now embedded. These are forms of idolatry that have crept in and are still evident today. And then not to mention the shedding of innocent blood. Part of the mandate was also that we were supposed to not just facilitate and encourage immigration, and we know that many lost their lives trying to get into Israel, but also many died in the land because of the rioting that actually British forces instigated and encouraged. So we believe that a government apology will actually play a key part in cleansing our land from these sins, and that will put the UK in a better position to support future Aliyah. It will remove those obstacles of sin. And we trust that that won't just be true for the UK, but for many other nations that also supported the mandate. So it's our hope that this apology that we trust and believe will come will open up the Aliyah from other nations too. And we trust that our repentance and a change of attitude will show that we are willing and we are trustworthy to be this transit nation for Aliyah, and to help our own Jewish people to make Aliyah. So, friends, this centenary could mark a real new season of opportunity, moving us from being away from being a nation that is actively opposing and working against the Lord and in relation to Israel and the Jewish people, but actually open the way for him to be able to use us to fulfill his plans and purposes. And when we've been reflecting on this and seeking the Lord on this, a passage from 2 Chronicles 6, verses 7 to 9 came to mind. And it's looking at David and Solomon. And it says, "My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'You did well to have it in your heart to build a temple for my name. Nevertheless, you are not the one to build the temple, but your son, your own flesh and blood, he is the one who will build the temple for my name.'" So we see, don't we, that David had it on his heart to build the temple, but it was actually Solomon that finished the work and completed it. So in the same way, Balfour and the government of the time, they had it on their hearts, but it was never finished. So may the Lord in his mercy allow this generation be the one that sees that work completed, that helps that with the return of the Jewish people, that completes that unfinished work. May God instill in the heart of our government, again, that favour towards Israel and the Jewish people and their God-given right to live in the land. And of course, friends, we're not blind, are we, to the reality? Is it likely that our government will change its position anytime soon? Humanly speaking, no. Is it necessary for the Aliyah? No. We know the Lord is bringing his people home. There's still much, much to be done. And we strongly believe that there are going to be waves of Aliyah from France, from the USA, from Europe, from South America. And the Lord will do it, with or without us. He gave us a chance once before. We started it, but then we abandoned it and we didn't finish it. And he carried on without us. God says time and time again, I will. I will. But he sees our hearts, doesn't he? And he hears the cries of the people that are praying, Lord, let it be different. And all of our prayers, they're offered up, they're recorded before him. And if in the past he could bring about those circumstances and those people that made us a nation that worked with him for the Aliyah and for the restoration of Israel, he can absolutely do it again, can't he? Through prayer, he raised up Balfour, he used Churchill, he used many others that were key at that time to re-establish the homeland from our nation. And if he so sees fit, he can easily do it again. And I'd like to just touch on Spain and Portugal as an example of what can happen when a nation expresses their regret and remorse for sins of the past. So they fairly recently extended an apology for the Inquisition, and they allowed people that could trace their ancestry back to the Inquisition, to Sephardic Jews, to obtain Portuguese or Spanish nationality. And what's been the result of that? Well, thousands of people have now actually been awakened to their Jewish roots, to their Jewish identity, and they have proof of it now. And yes, absolutely agreed, right now they might not have made Aliyah, or they might not have Israeli identity, but when their time comes for Aliyah, it will be a lot easier for them to prove and to get there, because they've already done the majority of the work. So you see how this apology has led to the Lord's intervention in favour of the Aliyah. So of course, it's unwise to try and to guess or to try and rush ahead and see what that might look like in our own nation, but we see the fruit of the sin that is still so embedded. And what does it look like? Well, we know that there are strong anti-Messiah spirits in our government, don't we? And in major UK cities. We know that our government is favouring and pressuring for a two-state solution. And we know that the broken promise that Britain made and broke is still remembered by many, many Jewish people and the communities throughout the world. And just to touch on some scriptures that give a warning about going against the Lord. Isaiah 60:12. For the nation or kingdom that will not serve you will perish. It will be utterly ruined. In those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will put them on trial for what they did to my inheritance, my people Israel, because they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. And then Genesis 12:3. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So we see the Lord's description of what will happen to those nations that are working against him in relation to Israel. So let us cry out to the Lord that our nation works with him and not against him. So 100 years after Britain was given those legal rights to establish the Jewish homeland, let's ask him together to bring about the conditions, the circumstances, and the people that will facilitate Aliyah through and from the UK. Because as we said, we recognise, don't we, that there is much more Aliyah to come. And those that are against it will be going against the Lord. And in asking the Lord for this change in our nation, our motivation is not simply to avoid judgment or because we're fearful of the Lord, but It's because we want to collaborate with him in this redemptive plan that he's got, this redemptive strategy. We want to joyfully participate with him. We want to be aligned with him. And of course, aren't we so thankful to have our personal revelation of Israel and of Aliyah? We're so thankful to be together with that shared vision. And we know there are many others in the body of Christ that have that understanding. But he's also the God of the nations, isn't he? And we must remember that. He's not just the God of the individual. He's the God of the nations. So we remember to be praying for our nations. And it's such a blessing to get prayer reports from the various prayer groups. Send in your scriptures and how and what you've been praying. And we can see how the Lord's been leading and guiding you to pray all over the country. And we see how he's been preparing things for that Aliyah to come. So there have been these indications over the years, these signs that the Lord is indeed preparing us for greater waves of Aliyah to come. And I'd just like to share at this point a word that I believe the Lord gave, and we've looked at it with the trustees, and this is all part of our preparation for the days ahead. And I feel this is what the Lord said. You know what is in store and what lies ahead. Do not hold back. Base your activities, plans, and events upon the knowledge and understanding of what is to come. What you share will resonate with many. And as they witness to my message in their spirits, I will stir them to join you for the days ahead. Prepare now. Gird your loins. Do this, and you will lack nothing in the time of need. So we see the Lord is readying us for the Aliyah that we know is to come. So how is he calling us to continue to get ready for the days ahead? Is there anything happening in your area? Is there anything that perhaps needs further prayer where you are? So perhaps it's consider prayer walking with another prayer partner or with your prayer group. I know many of you have seen this and you have this. This is a little booklet that we've produced on just to help with prayer walking in relation to Aliyah. So, and if you're not part of a prayer group, as we said this morning, do get in touch with us if you sense that there are things to be prayed about where you are and you'd like other people to be praying with you. Get in touch. And just an example of this, last Saturday, there was a team that went out to pray at the site where Balfour used to fellowship. There you can see David and Marion, you've got Ian and Anne, and they're all here. So this is our faithful group that went to pray where Lord Balfour himself went to worship and probably got much of his biblical understanding. And so we see how important it is to pray on location as well as the Lord leads. And some of the things that we've incorporated into the prayer today are how they were led to pray on site. So by going out and being in these significant places, the Lord can speak. And so now we've gathered in what they've taken and what the Lord spoke there in this significant place. And we are praying, building on what they prayed last Saturday. And that was, I think, that's not the first visit that they've had there. So we're obviously careful to seek the Lord at all times. And we go where he's showing us to go. We don't rush ahead and we try not to fall behind. Because the Lord's revealed, hasn't he, that there will be difficult days ahead. But we know that if we follow his leading, we will remain safe under his will. And I think as we're talking about following his leading, it's good to mention now what some of the things that our team in Ukraine shared. They knew. They knew that things would be tricky. They knew that there were difficult days ahead. And they prepared as best they could because the Lord had warned them about what was coming. And they prepared as best as they could. But they told us, everything we prepared, everything we thought, it wasn't as we thought. It wasn't as what we imagined. So we know that we prepare as best as we can, as best as the Lord leads us, but we also have to seek him, stay within the boundaries of what he's shown us, and try and stay under his covering. So I mentioned earlier some of the ways that we've been directed to pray, and I'd just like to recap two prayer focuses in particular as we've been preparing for this wave of Aliyah to come. So one initiative we've done is praying for the coastlands. So as we've been expecting the Aliyah from the, we've termed it Aliyah from the West, We've been preparing the coastlands because we believe they may well come by sea. It might not be possible for them to travel by air, or it may be that they come in large ships. We're just waiting on the Lord and we're praying as he leads us. So since 2008, there was a national prayer focus for the coastlands in preparation. And the focus of that, there's a section of the introduction to those prayers. They were praying that no unclean thing would hinder or influence the Alia highways as they transcend the coastland and waterways. So since then, many of you have continued to go out to various locations along the coast and pray for the waterways, the coastlines, harbours. And one significant journey has, of course, been the Alida. And this is indeed an example of when we need to be flexible and be open to the Lord and prepared for plans to change. So as Alison shared this morning, the Alida, and as you probably remember from if you saw the publicity, Alida was due to stop in Cherbourg, France. And this is actually what caught our attention, as the Lord has been highlighting French Alia to us probably since 2015. And we've been asking him how we in the UK can be best equipped to help should the Jewish people of France, there's still at least estimated about 300,000 to 400,000 Jewish people. What will it look like when they make their Alia? How will we be called to help in the UK? Well, when we saw that the Alida would be stopping, this caught our attention. And also the Southeast team, they've been praying for a while now about rail connections, about they've been going to the ports there in the southeast of the country. We've been looking at the Eurostar. And so when we saw that the Alida was stopping in Cherbourg, we prayed and we thought this is a great opportunity to reconnect with the team in Cherbourg and to pray for the Alia from France. Well, what actually happened? The Alida didn't end up stopping in France. That last photo that you just saw, that was taken at sunrise when I realized that that's Bournemouth and Poole, that's home. Cherbourg's due south from here. We're not stopping here because there was no way the ship was suddenly going to take a right angle, as it were, and drop due south. I knew we were probably carrying on to another port in France, Brest. So the weather and the conditions on the French side of the channel meant that instead of going directly from Dover to Cherbourg, we hugged effectively the whole south coast. So as I say, about 6 a.m. I saw Bournemouth and Poole and I knew that we would be continuing. So we went all the way along to Brixham. And it was there that for various reasons, because of the delays, because of the weather, I knew that I needed to get off the Alida there. And then you can see I ended up getting the train. So it's interesting, the journey had started in Poole, which is home, where there is a port. I'd gone through Bournemouth, where there is also waterway, there is also an airport. I'd gone through Southampton on the train, again, another port and an airport. I'd gone into London, I'd gone via St. Pancras International Train Station. I'd gone from St. Pancras to Dover, all the way along the south coast, and then from Brixham, gone back home to Poole. So you see the loop of the entire south coast through some really significant seaways. And during the Alida, we had the opportunity to pray for the church, to pray about false gods that over the waterways that the Vikings and the Romans would have carried with them, the false Alia. That's to say, the Jewish people leaving and going other nations and going not towards Israel, but settling in other nations. And we prayed for those coastlands to be ready to receive the Jewish people and for them to make Alia. And we wouldn't have had that opportunity had we gone directly to Cherbourg. So although it was the initial contact with France that had caught my attention, the Lord had other ideas. And I did feel a bit sad and confused and at the time, but you'll see in the next image just how the Lord encouraged me to show me that the assignment was as he intended and was completed. That was over Paignton train station as I was sat there. Must have been looking a sorry sight with my backpack, having been on the ship for that time, and then wondering what the Lord was saying. And then I saw that, and I knew that that section of the voyage was as the Lord had intended. So perhaps the Lord is saying that there's more preparation needed before the French Alia focus, that we will get over to the French team, we will see them, but for this season, we believe he was saying that the coastlands was a priority. So we've been reminded recently from various international prayer focuses and with their leader just how strategically positioned the UK is. So if there are major waves of Aliyah from the USA, you can see we have that expanse of ocean there. Will they come by ship from the North Atlantic? We see what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. Well, many are leaving via the Finnish border from the Baltic Nordic nations. So will they come round the North Sea to Israel, just like the Alida did? And it's interesting that Phil and I, when we got on at Dover, we were asked to purchase food supplies to take on board. A sign of things to come? Again, not rushing ahead, but maybe that's significant, the Lord's saying, be ready. We took food on board the ship for them that is now, as Alison said, about to dock in Israel. Is that a sign of things to come? Transiting, restocking, moving onwards. France and Europe, of course, the coastline there that we thought we were focusing on the Alida. So, not, and it's not just the south coast as well. Our friends from Ireland, they've also, that are here, they've also been praying. And these are just some of the connections that you can see with the ships from Rosslare in Ireland, and there's some connections from the south coast to France and to Spain. And so the team in Ireland, they've been to the port of Rosslare and they've prayed for the Aliyah and how the Lord might use the port of Rosslare in the future. And that's, you can see that there on the screen now. So these are all ways that the Lord's been preparing the British Isles for the Aliyah to come. And we do need to just touch on the current situation in our own nation, not just the Aliyah that might be coming, that we might be helping with from other nations, which is why we're seeking the Lord in prayer, so that we are ready. But in our own nation, so it's not just the Aliyah from other nations. Back in 2018, let's look at some of the headlines prior to the last general election. Well, many Jewish people were considering leaving, weren't they, if the Labour government got in. So that's from the Jewish Chronicle. And then even a year later, in 2019, they were still reporting on it. They were still talking about it. So although the Jewish people don't feel the same threat with Starmer as they did with Corbyn, what happens if things don't go the way that they're hoping with Labour? What then? Will they feel completely let down? Well, there's no party that works here for us. Will that set in motion a wave of Aliyah from our own nation? So we need to start praying now for the upcoming elections. We've actually included something in the prayer today for the next general election so that the Lord's will is done and so that the UK is in a position ready to help and facilitate the Aliyah. And again, I really want to emphasize, we try really hard not to move ahead of the Lord, to stay in step with him. And isn't that just the theme of our conference? He who has an ear. So let us together seek the Lord, not anticipating or imagining might what be ahead, but seek him and pray as he directs. So that's why we need to pray, to clear the decks, as it were, before the Lord, so we're ready for these waves of Aliyah to come. But let's go back to Balfour and let's address that question of what's left to pray. So unless the Lord continues to tell us to keep praying in the same way into a specific matter, we want to be building, don't we? We want to be advancing in prayer and moving forward, building on what's gone before. Not just looking at the past, trying to find that one thing that went wrong and unlock it with the key, and the Lord might go, oh yes, now you've got it, now I'll do it. But it's following him and asking him, like, and it's almost like an onion. You can imagine peeling back the various layers and so you get to the heart of the matter. And we believe that the Lord's shown us that next layer, that next step that will bring about that apology. So our prayers for the apology to come, for the government to apologize to the Jewish people for violating the terms of the British mandate. In those prayers, we've also had practical action. And many of you took up the invitation to write personalized letters. And just as a side note, we've heard directly from an MP that's supportive of Israel that whilst the petitions are good and have their merit, actually it's the letter writing by individuals that have taken the time to write a personalised individual letter. They have real weight. So many of you actually did write letters. And in preparing, we went back to a letter that was received from the Foreign and Commonwealth Development Office, who make a lot of our policies and who hold this stance towards Israel. And I'd like to show you in the response. You can clearly see, so we wrote requesting the apology, and in the letter, they are reinforcing the position of a two-state solution. So the Lord has shown now to us this, a connection from the past to how that's why that is still entrenched in government policy today, how those spirits are still at work affecting our nation's stance and our nation's attitude towards Israel. So what does it say in there? Well, it's clearly laid out in the letter of response that the UK's long-standing position on the Middle East peace process is clear. We support a negotiated settlement leading to a safe and secure Israel living alongside a viable and sovereign Palestinian state, Jerusalem as the shared capital of both states. So now I'd just like to read you some text from the White Paper of 1939. So yes, a large element of that was about limiting immigration, but also there's something that I noticed for the first time, and it says this. His Majesty's government are convinced that in the interests of peace and well-being of the whole people of Palestine, a clear definition of policy and objectives is essential. The proposal of partition recommended by the Royal Commission would have afforded such clarity, but the establishment of self-supporting, independent Arab and Jewish states within Palestine has been found to be impracticable. So what does this actually say? The Peel Commission that was recommending splitting up the land and dividing it, as you'll see on the map, this was the recommendation of the Peel Commission. They're not actually saying in the introduction to the White Paper that we shouldn't be partitioning the land. That white paper that was legally recognised in government just says we can't do it that right now. So you can see how this legal document is actually affirming the idea that it's okay to partition and divide the land. So that is the connection with the letter that was received just a few years back. That route that crept in through the white paper is still apparent and evident today. So we can see from that early stage, the government adopting that position in favour of dividing up the land. And the white paper then goes on to say that if it can't be divided, that both communities should govern together equally. And then what's even more upsetting and shameful is that this white paper then goes on to actually say that the terms of the mandate have now been fulfilled. This was in 1939. His Majesty's government therefore now declare unequivocally that it's not part of their policy that Palestine should become a Jewish state. Well, that's a complete turnaround from the mandate and the Balfour Declaration. When it is asked what is meant by the development of the Jewish national home in Palestine, it may be answered that it is not the imposition of Jewish nationality upon the inhabitants of Palestine as a whole, but the further development of the existing Jewish community with the assistance of Jews in other parts of the world, in order that it may be a centre in which the Jewish people as a whole may take, on grounds of religious and race, an interest in pride. So that you see there a complete turnaround, and that's the complete reneging of the mandate of our responsibilities. And then lastly, His Majesty's government are satisfied that when the immigration over 5 years, which is now contemplated, has taken place, they will not be justified in facilitating, nor will they be under any obligation to facilitate the further development of the national home by immigration, regardless of the wishes of the Arab population. So whilst countless lives are being lost in Nazi Europe, that's the declaration that our government made. We've done our part. Then there was a movement known as the Bricha in Hebrew, the Jewish people trying to escape Nazi Europe. So what lengths did we go to when we were struggling to control the flow of immigration? This was all new to me, but actually I've recently learnt that British intelligence actually followed and infiltrated the Bricha movement, the Israeli secret movement trying to get the Jewish people out of Europe. We infiltrated it. And we actively tried to stop them from leaving Europe and arriving in Palestine, and therefore making it a British problem. We positioned them at border crossings. We blocked and damaged ships in European ports. One figure quotes that there were 66 ships after World War II heading to Israel. 8 got through. Not only that, again, this was new to me, we actually put pressure on other European nations, France, Romania, Austria, to name a few, to prevent immigration. And lastly, another shameful thing from our time, it's reported that we actually deliberately misinformed the USA that the Soviets and the communists were trying to get into this Brihat movement and trying to get into the Middle East. So they must help us. They should help us trying to stop this Brihat movement, this escape from Nazi Europe, because actually there was Soviets and there were communists that were trying to get into the Middle East through it. So therefore we deliberately lied and used propaganda to get the USA involved. So these are all things that the Lord has shown us that are yet to be taken up in prayer. These are deeper layers that we're peeling back of the onion, as it were. So we're bringing these sins before him. We're asking him to cleanse our land, to change our nation's position towards Israel, so that we are ready and able to help. And it's significant, isn't it, that at this time of tabernacles, we can come together before the Lord and we can ask him that our nation would be a safe place. We would be a dwelling place, and like Tom said, for a time. Of course, our heart and our prayer is that they travel home to Israel. So in our prayers, we're careful to remember that, of course, they're a blessing, they're an encouragement, and we love the Jewish people, and we're glad that they're here with us, but their home is Israel. So we are, in this time of tabernacles, asking that the Lord would help provide them a shelter for a time on their way home. So just a few brief things to mention about the prayer. As we said, it might be the first time that you've prayed like this, something that's, we will go into prayer in our groups as well, where we're sat, but also we're going to read this and pray this prayer together. And I just wanted to clarify why Ebenezer does this, reads a prayer that's written and pre-prepared together. Just very shortly, there's a few things that helped, that are the reasons why we do this kind of corporate prayer in this way and a pre-prepared written prayer. One of the things is the preparation. Reading and preparing a prayer like this together gives time for research. It gives time for us to inquire of the Lord, to make changes, to seek him and get the wording right, get the content right. So that's one of the advantages and the benefits of a prayer of this style, of having it written out like this. It gives time to prepare. Another reason, it gives us time to be in unity and agreement. It's time to read it, time to question, time to come together in agreement upon it. So that's another reason why it's good to have a corporate prayer that's written down in this way. And that leads nicely onto the last point. It's good to have a written record. So I was able to bring this together because I could look back and see what we've prayed previously. I was able to come before the Lord and say, what's left to pray? Because I could look back at the written records of what we've already prayed, and I could see that what I was sensing lined up with what we haven't prayed yet. So those are just a few reasons of why in Ebenezer we do this style of prayer. We will, of course, have time in groups and time to pray together, but this is one reason why we do this style of prayer. And again, lastly, on a practical matter, maybe you don't necessarily identify as British. Maybe this "we" is something that you perhaps don't identify with, but actually the prayer has been written in such a way that when we confess, we are agreeing with the Lord, aren't we? So we can all acknowledge that what Britain did was wrong during that period, and we can feel sorrow for that, whether we're British or not. And we can also come together under the banner of Ebenezer, whether we're directly from Britain or not. We can come together with our heart for Israel, for the Jewish people, and we can join together in the prayer with that understanding, whether we are directly identify as being British or not. So just to give you a moment, perhaps just to glance through the prayer, just to, if you witness to it, and then we'll stand and we can take up this prayer together. And I'm looking at the opening scripture here as well. And just to, perhaps some of you might be wondering about the opening scripture. This is Isaiah 45 that refers to Cyrus. And this is the Lord saying, who are you to question what I do with my children? Who are you to question? So in relation to our government, who is our government to question what the Lord is doing? The Lord made them, and the Lord will fulfill his will. It is not for us and our nation to question it and to come against it. So that's the script. That's why that scripture is there at the start of our prayer. So if we're ready, if we're in agreement, if you witness to it, I just invite you to stand and we can pray this together. Woe to those who quarrel with their maker, those who are nothing but potsherds among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, the potter has no hands? Woe to the one who says to a father, what have you begotten? Or to a mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker. Concerning things to come, do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind on it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. I will raise up Cyrus in my righteousness. I will make his ways straight. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free, but not for a price or a reward, says the Lord Almighty. Father, we come before you at the start of Tabernacles and at the centenary weekend of the British Mandate legally coming into effect. We come to you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah, under the covering of his shed blood, and in accordance with the mandate you have given Ebenezer Operation Exodus to pray for the return of the Jewish people to Israel. Thank you for leading us at each stage of this Balfour initiative, for strengthening us to persevere in faith, and for the answers we have already seen. Father, we confess with deep sorrow that the white paper of 1939 opened a door which has given direct access to the spirit of Islam and an anti-Messiah spirit into Parliament. Not only did the white paper go directly against your word in blocking the return home of your Jewish people, but it also gave way for a political position concerning the partition of the Jewish homeland, which has gained strength over the decades and which we still see in effect today. Father, we are sorry. Today, the British government does not recognize the Jewish sovereignty over the city of Jerusalem, but views it as an international city and desires to see a two-state solution. With heartfelt sorrow, we acknowledge that this position is now entrenched in the Foreign, Commonwealth and Development Office. We confess the pride, the broken covenant, the idolatry, and the direct rebellion against your word in the white paper of 1939. And with sorrow, we acknowledge the white paper led to the further shedding of innocent blood. Lord, we confess the extreme measures the UK government took to implement the white paper of 1939 and control immigration. We confess that Britain violently blocked your Jewish people from finding refuge in the land you promised them. We shut the gates of the Jewish homeland to its people and condemned many to death. We infiltrated and disrupted Jewish organizations who were helping with Aliyah. We pressured other governments to also prevent the Jewish people from leaving Europe and use lies, propaganda, and deceit to further our own interests. Father, thank you that you are merciful and forgiving. Thank you that you see our heart to be a nation that works with you and not against you for your glory. Lord, on this centenary occasion of Britain being granted the legal mandate for the establishment of the Jewish homeland, we pray for a breakthrough in the minds and hearts of our Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, and the Cabinet Ministers, including Foreign Secretary James Cleverly and members of the Foreign and Commonwealth and Development Office. We ask you to please bring forth the apology from our government for our reneging of the responsibilities in the British mandate. And we pray this leads to a new season of collaboration with Israel, with the Jewish people, and with the Aliyah. We ask you to uproot and remove the forces in government that are against you and your will for the Jewish people and land of Israel, so that Britain might be used by you once again to further your will and not oppose it. Please raise up leaders and those in authority in the UK who you will use to fulfill your perfect plans. We thank you, Lord, at this time of tabernacles, that over the years, the Jewish people have found temporary refuge in our nation for a time. We pray that we would align ourselves as a nation and as the Ministry of Ebenezer Operation Exodus to be ready to welcome and shelter them again for a time, should you desire it. We pray that we would be ready to shelter your Jewish people from the nations and help them onwards to their true homeland of Israel. Please bring the right circumstances in our government, our nation, and within the ministry of Ebenezer so that we are ready to help in whatever way you deem fit. We include in our prayers our next general election, asking that your will is done so that Aliyah through and from the UK will be facilitated and supported. We exalt your word and your truth that you are watching over your word to perform it. And we declare that you will take the Jewish people from among the nations, gather them out of all the countries, and bring them into their own land. Amen and amen. Bless you. So just where Bob and Rafit, it might be a good opportunity to move the chairs around. Just where we're sat, maybe in groups of five or six or where you are, we're going to take up some prayer in our groups. So let's carry on praying into this matter that we've been praying into. We've got some points on the screen. And if in your groups, you can also look up to be reminded of the points. There's screens there as well. So if you're facing that direction, you can use those ones. And if you're facing this way, so just where you're gathered, you can move the chairs for just this bit. And then the points should come up. So, great. So there you see on the screen some points for continued prayer. Let's thank the Lord because he has been answering. We have had some good signs of encouragement. Jeremy Hunt, didn't he? He referred to that white paper as a dark moment in history. That was really wonderful. That was a great advance. So we can thank the Lord for that. Let's pray for the Foreign Commonwealth Development Office, the FCDO, for the government and the next election, general election, asking the Lord for a pro-Israel and pro-Aliyah government. Let's asking for his guidance and wisdom for the future, as we've been talking about, so that we're ready. Let's pray that the UK is ready to receive the Jewish people and help them onwards to Israel. And an important part of what we've done in previous prayers, we have extended our forgiveness to those that have gone before us for these things. But we can stand on that forgiveness and affirm that forgiveness of our ancestors, those that have gone before us. That's also an important part of what we're doing today. We can affirm our forgiveness for those sins that we've confessed. So we'll pray into those points for a few minutes. And then after that, we've got some other subjects to take up. So if you'd like to draw those prayers to a close, we're going to move on to a related but different topic now, still asking the Lord to prepare us, to ready us. We'd like to give you the opportunity to pray for each other now, to pray. So we appreciate there's not a great deal of time, so let's use the time for praying. And if there's more information and more things you want to share with people, please do, more needs for prayer. We'd love to hear them. And if you feel that there's more to pray into, that absolutely do come and share later on. But for now, just pray in your groups for each other. Just briefly share any prayer needs. But do you need new prayer group members? Those are just a few ideas up there. Do you need more? Are you the only prayer partner or supporter in your area? Do you feel a bit isolated? Maybe you'd like to pray about that in your group. Do you need the Lord's guidance with a prayer initiative that he's put on your heart? Do you need to be praying for the church in your area, Jewish community, whatever it might be? There's just a few ideas. So do take the next few minutes to share some prayer points for each other and just to bless and pray for one another.